This is Jen Rowland, and I want to thank you for tuning in to today's post, Self-Discipline and Setting Intentions for 2020. On September 3rd, 2017, my husband and I ran the Virginia Beach Half Marathon. For 12 weeks, I woke up early to train. I wore my running clothes to bed, charged my sports watch the night before, and placed my phone on the floor to force myself to get up when my alarm went off. After a tall glass of water, a healthy breakfast, and my daily prayer time, I'd complete my workout, mixing up strength, speed, and endurance training with dreaded hill sprints to improve my performance and build mental discipline. Training my body to run 13.1 miles was hard. There were many times I wanted to sleep in and skip my workout. There were days I was sore and tired from the one before. On those days, I synced my earbuds to my favorite playlist and told myself to just do something. Most days, something turned into a decent workout, and even when it wasn't my best performance, it was better than nothing. The simple act of doing something helped build the habit and move me one step closer to my goal. On the days I wasn't motivated, I learned how to be disciplined. The need for self-discipline. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Bible compares the Christian life to running a race. It calls us to discipline our body like an athlete, training it to do what it should, by exercising self-control and setting an example for others. Rather than run aimlessly, we are called to run with purpose, pursuing the knowledge of Christ and the upward call of eternal life. Rather than compete for earthly rewards, we are called to compete for an imperishable crown, a heavenly reward given to those who sacrifice selfish desires to faithfully run the race God has set before them. This race looks different for each of us, but the end goal, inheriting God's kingdom, is the same. The word discipline comes from discipulus, the Latin word for pupil, and the source of the word disciple. Many people think a disciple is a follower, but in fact, a disciple is a student. It is a person who is trained by a teacher and who follows a plan of instruction. Jesus is our teacher, and his word is our instruction manual. To be a disciple of Jesus, we must develop physical, mental, and spiritual discipline. These disciplines are the means by which God transforms us. They are a non-negotiable part of living an abundant Christian life. Self-discipline is not inherent. It is cultivated over time by sacrificing what we want in the short term for the long-term goal of becoming more like Christ. Thus, physical and spiritual discipline are closely intertwined. The Bible tells us that for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Hebrews 12:11. Whether this is caring for our body through physical activity, controlling what we eat, or studying scripture, exercising self-discipline is difficult, but the return is well worth the investment. Race day. The weekend of the race, my husband and I booked a room on the boardwalk, within walking distance of the starting line. The night before, the hotel adjacent to ours featured a live band, which played well past the 11 p.m. curfew. When my alarm went off at 5:30 a.m., I had less than 4 hours of sleep. After my pre-workout snack, banana and peanut butter on a whole grain wrap, I threw on my gear and securely fastened my running bib to the front of my shirt. Written next to my number was Corral 3, which meant I would run with a group on pace for an 8-minute and 30-second mile. This would keep me on track to meeting my goal of finishing in less than 2 hours. As I approached the starting line, the pre-race jitters set in. My stomach felt queasy, and I found myself in line at the outhouses with hundreds of other participants just minutes before the gun went off. I missed the national anthem and was still waiting in line when Corral 3, 4, and 5 took off. I began the race in Corral 9 on pace for a 10-minute mile with no time to mentally prepare myself and already 12 minutes behind. I spent the first few miles frantically trying to catch up, running at a sub-8-minute mile pace. At mile 7, I made an unexpected pit stop due to consuming too much water. And by mile 9, my legs were burning and I was gasping for breath. This is where you might expect me to put on my power song and push through, but that's not what I did. I walked. I recognized that it was literally a marathon, not a sprint, and I gave myself some grace. At mile 10, my music cut out, and I struggled to stay motivated. To keep going, I had to shift my focus from how far I had to go to simply putting one foot in front of the other. I praised God for the ability to run, regardless of how I felt in the moment, and reminded myself what was most important. It wasn't my time. It was taking in the experience, building endurance, and practicing disciplines that would help me in all aspects of life. As I approached the last mile, I picked up my pace and spotted a runner from Corral 3 ahead. Determined to finish strong, I vowed not to lose sight of her. I stuck by her side and crossed the finish line at 1 hour and 53 minutes, 7 minutes under my goal time. The race had gone nothing like I'd planned, but it was still a success. Not only because I beat my husband's time, a little healthy competition never hurt, but also because I had persevered. Side note, my husband claims that had he properly trained for the race, that is, run more than twice a week or completed a long run greater than 8 miles, he would have beat me. But Doug, if you're reading this, I challenge you to put a little action behind those words. I hear there's a half marathon in DC 9 weeks from now. Just saying. Perhaps you've set goals for the new year and already feel like you've fallen behind. Maybe you're lacking in motivation, direction, or had planned to take off with Corral 3, but are facing unexpected delays. I'm here to tell you it's not too late and that you can do this. We build physical discipline by intentionally pressing forward in spite of difficulties. Take the first step, trust that God will guide you, and just get started. There will be pit stops along your path. Expect them. The Christian life was never meant to be a straight line from point A to point B. The detours grow and strengthen us in a way that a clearly defined path never could. We build mental discipline when we welcome divine interruptions, ignore distractions, and focus on running the race God has marked out for us. It's not about our time. It's about who we become in the process. Know that you'll go through spiritual and motivational dry spells where you'll feel like you're running alone. In these moments when our faith is tested, our spiritual endurance has a chance to grow. When you lose stamina, shift your focus from how far you have to go to simply taking the next step. Focus on God's blessings instead of your shortcomings. Seek out others who are running the same race toward Christ. And remember, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Pace yourself and give yourself some grace. Pairing goals with intentions. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. Proverbs 16:9, NLT. One way to avoid discouragement when things don't go as planned is to pair our goals with intentions. Unlike goals, which are focused on the end product, intentions are process focused. They are based on our internal mindset and are independent of whether we're on track to achieving our goal. For example, someone with a goal to lose 10 pounds may set intentions to enjoy life-giving foods that nourish her body, give her more energy, and help her feel her best. Intentions such as developing awareness, experiencing joy, extending grace, and expressing gratitude are lived each day. They allow us to enjoy the journey, be present in the moment, and stay positive despite roadblocks we encounter. This year, let's pair our goals with intentions. We can start by creating space in our schedule to reflect on how we've grown in the past year and discern where God is leading us in the year ahead. Write down what comes to mind in this dream guide by author Jenny Allen. At the top of each page, I invite you to write a statement of intention for your spiritual, relational, personal, and intellectual growth. Then list your goals underneath. You can see my blog for my example. Running the race. It took me months to be able to run 13 miles. years for our mornings to begin with God, and it will take a lifetime to learn how to live like Jesus. But not a moment of that training or time spent with the Lord was wasted. In building self-discipline, I've established healthy routines that have enabled me to grow closer to God, better care for myself, and more generously give to others. The same can be true for you. 1 mile at a time, 1 meal at a time, 1 decision at a time, we can cultivate the life God created us to live. We can stop allowing life to happen to us and distractions to stray us off course. On the days we're struggling to stay motivated, we can learn how to be disciplined, stripping off the weights that slow us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and running with endurance the race God has set before us. Call to action. Visit my blog to download the free dream guide by author Jenny Allen and prayerfully consider how God is calling you to move forward in each area of your life, your spiritual, relational, work, and personal growth. Write down your goals and intentions. Next week, we'll talk about narrowing down our goals and creating an action plan to move forward. Thank you.